The weapons with which we fight are spiritual weapons, and it has often been said that the first word of the message we bring is repent. Is that good news or bad news?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just came a few minutes ago from a luncheon in Charlotte hosted by First Baptist Church, one of the leading churches in the city. About 50 pastors and business leaders gathered together to talk about the call to reach out and resist, reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, resist gay activism with courage. And of course, what's happened in New York has gotten the attention of the nation. What I want to focus on today, though, is our spiritual battle. The weapons of our spiritual battle, the message that we bring to the world. I want to remind you that every human being has a common enemy, whether we are heterosexual or homosexual, whether we are black and white, whether we're young or old, whether we're Jew or Gentile, we have a common enemy, the devil, who is out to destroy us. And we'll talk about some of the spiritual battle that we are fighting and the weapons that God has given us. I want to talk to you about the message of repentance, our message to the world, encourage you in the power of prayer. And I also love to hear from you today to get your reaction over the weekend with the major events taking place in New York. If you listened to yesterday's broadcast, I spent the entire hour seeking to encourage those who were in New York in particular, but in other parts of the nation, to say, yes, it's painful, it's dire, it's grievous. However, we have no reason to be discouraged. 866-34-TRUTH, if you live in the New York area, love to hear how you're doing, what's happening in your own thinking. If you're in D.C., Massachusetts, where these issues with same-sex marriage have been prevalent for a longer period of time, especially Massachusetts, I'd like to hear from you in terms of what impact, if any, has this had on the culture, the schools, things surrounding you. How has it impacted churches in either way, either to activate or to discourage? If you're in other parts of the country and can weigh in on that, too, that's just great. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to open the word to you in a few minutes, but first I want to share with you some quotes that I shared with leaders today, encouraging them to do what's right, encouraging them to stand up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequence, reminding them that the history will look back at us and judge us for how we responded in a given generation. It's always easy to say, oh, if I lived in Nazi Germany, if I lived here, if I lived there, wow, you know, it would really be, you know, I would have stood up. And well, easier said than done. We have social moral issues of great importance calling for our involvement. And many times when the rubber meets the road, it is more challenging for us. Here's some of the quotes I shared. Titus Brandsma: those who want to win the world for Christ must have the courage to come into conflict with it. Wow. Can I read that again? Titus Brandsma. I shared this with the pastors and leaders today. Those who want to win the world for Christ must have the courage to come into conflict with it. By the way, he was ultimately killed by the Nazis. Mahatma Gandhi, while he's widely admired, a reformer has to sail not with the current. Very often he has to go against it, even though it may cost him his life. This was part of his philosophy. People look at him as a leader of nonviolent resistance, ultimately assassinated. But he understood the cost of going against the grain. A reformer has to sail not with the current. Very often, he has to go against it, even though it may cost him his life. James B. Taylor, Christian leader from the 1800s. And they have conquered, I was about to quote Revelation 12:11 to you. James Taylor said this: the world may frown, Satan may rage, but go on, live for God. May I die in the field of battle. This is how people stood for righteousness in the past. Even if they lived to a ripe old age, they said, I'm here to do the will of God. The world may frown, Satan may rage, but go on, live for God. May I die in the field of battle. Let's stand for what's right, what's true. Let's use the weapons God has given us. They are spiritual, and they will bring about change.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. We're talking about the spiritual battle that we are in and the spiritual weapons that we have been given. We're not fighting people. Even if we're grieved by what people do, we recognize we all have a common enemy, namely Satan. And we, by God's grace, are here to be world changers with a message of hope and transformation in life, regardless of cost or consequence, and regardless of whether we apparently succeed at any given point. We will do what's right. We will honor the Lord. And we know that ultimately his kingdom will triumph over all the kingdoms of this world. And the Lordship of Jesus will be acknowledged by the universe. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I do want to get some of your reflections about what's happened in New York over the weekend with the passage of a same-sex marriage bill. I spent yesterday's show, this first hour, encouraging folks. Yes, it's grievous, but not to be downcast. We have reasons to continue to be full of hope, full of life, full of truth, regardless of what's happening around us. You can weigh in online at askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And I can safely say that the message that we bring to the world, is a message of repentance to life. The message of repentance does not simply mean change your mind, but change your mind, heart, life, do an about face. How? By the grace and power of God. Friends, we are the counterculture believers swimming against the tide, going against the grain, making a difference. I quoted before from Mahatma Gandhi. No, he was not a Christian repentance preacher, but he understood this principle. A reformer has to sail not with the current. Very often he has to go against it, even though it may cost him his life or cost her life. It may cost his reputation. It may cost his friends. Not through being mean-spirited, not through being nasty, not through being obnoxious, but by speaking the truth. And the message of repentance is our message to the world. We don't just tell the world God loves them and God wants to do wonderful things for them. We tell the world that they need to turn from their sin and turn to God, and God will have mercy on them and change them and transform them. So we're going to look at some scriptures about that. But because I didn't take calls yesterday, I do want to hear from a few of you, and then we'll open up the word together. So let me get right to the calls, starting with Annie in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. All right, Annie, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so, you know, what's been on my mind is a question. Is this as a result of Romans 8:28, or have we failed as a church? I live in New York, and I've just been really downcast, and I know that we're supposed to be encouraged, but I heard a priest and I heard a pastor say the same thing. They said, we are pro-marriage, we're not anti-gay. That's kind of like a cop-out, because the Bible does specifically talk against sexual immorality and homosexuality. Why are we compromising God's word?
Well, good question and good point. Excuse me. Let me first say that I do not believe that this happened in terms of the passage of same-sex marriage in New York. It happens in a positive way. Romans 8:28 can ultimately take place. In other words, for believers, whatever happens for evil can be turned for good, and this can ultimately be turned for the good of the gospel. But this is very negative. It points to the larger moral failure of the Church of America, the larger moral compromise of the Church of America. Look, just that New York has an unbelievably high abortion rate, for example, unbelievably high abortion rate for African Americans in New York. There's a real assault on the people of New York, and there's a very strong gay population in New York, more than in most cities in America, for obvious reasons. And, you know, people gathering together in certain cities and locations and so on. So without a doubt, this is a result of our failure to be the salt and the light. It's a result of our failure to have solid marriages, often within the church, to pass solid values often onto our kids. Often our greatest emphasis is on going to church rather than being the church. For the most part, our prayer lives are very weak. For the most part, we've preached a compromised message to the world. So, of course, these things are going to happen. And look, by all means, it's a grievous time. When I just tell folks, hey, hang in there, don't be discouraged, it's because it's so easy to lose hope, especially in New York when people fought so long and so hard, but it was so few that actually stood. If the church of New York as a whole stood together the way a small remnant did, this certainly never would have happened. That being the case, when a pastor or priest will say, we're pro-marriage, we're not anti-gay, if they're saying it in the right way, they're saying, I'm not against you as a human being. I'm not trying to attack you and say you don't have the right to be with someone you love. I'm simply saying that's not what the meaning of marriage is. We're pro-marriage. On the other hand, though, we must state clearly that we are against homosexual practice because God is against all forms of sex and romantic relationship outside of marriage as he's ordained it, and that homosexual practice often ties in with homosexual activism, which wants to influence our schools and change our moral views, etc. So I can't say why the person said what they said. They may have been speaking with wisdom and with love. They may have been speaking with compromise. We must speak with wisdom and love and mix grace and truth together. So, yeah, we mourn over these things, Annie, no question. It's grievous, but let's keep our hope in Jesus because God didn't guarantee to us that we wouldn't see these things happen, but he did guarantee ultimate victory in Jesus. So
well,
thanks for the call.
Thank you and commend you for lifting up everybody's spirits.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you, Annie. Terry in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air, Terry.
Yes, hi. You know, I'm so concerned that the church as a body is not doing anything. I just feel like we're not doing enough to stop things like this. Because there were certain radio stations that I've been listening to, and, you know, when this was coming up for approval, they didn't even have anything going on. Nobody knew anything about it. Nobody said anything about it. And I'm trying to figure out why are we so laid back, and, you know, these people are succeeding in silencing us as Christians. Because nobody's doing
absolutely right,
anything.
Terry. And they care passionately. For them, this is not a matter of going to a gay meeting once a week or listening to gay radio. For them, this is their life. This is, in their view, equality, tolerance, recognition of marriage, growing up in a society that affirms who they are. So this is very, very important to them. And for a lot of Christians, either we've got a complacent mindset to start, or we're kind of thinking, well, I had a good prayer time today, or my own kids are doing all right, or I still have a job. In other words, we have a more self-centered mentality, or we just don't want to hear a no. Here's what concerns me, Terry. I've spoken about these issues now for some years, and I can speak about them to leaders today in different cities and different states. And when I do, they're in a state of shock. And I'm thinking, why are you in a state of shock? This information has been out there. And I understand that there are radio stations that are family friendly, meaning during certain hours of the day, you can flip it on with your kids and it's perfectly fine. You know, they're not going to be talking about pornography. They're not going to be talking about gay marriage. And they're just going to be talking about things so that anybody can tune in and know that that's there. But they'll also say we're family-friendly and positive. And some years ago, we went to put an ad on a local station in the greater Charlotte area, and they didn't want to run it because they said we're positive. We only put positive things on. And we wanted to alert people about what was happening with gay pride in the city. Well, so if you just want to be positive, you can't even read certain parts of the Bible then. You can't read a lot of the Bible because the message is a wake-up call. So you are right. We are losing moral, spiritual battles, so many of them, not just this one. This is massive, but so many. And
so
we
many
must.
Even my church where I go to, I'm not going to mention the name, they never even mentioned one word about it. I mean, we're so concerned about ourselves, praying for our own little issues and, Lord, give me this and, Lord, give me that. And you know, in the meantime, the world is falling apart around us, and nobody is doing anything about it. This is what concerns me.
Yes,
more
well, I agree with you, Terry. What we need to do is be encouraged by those who are taking stands, who are getting involved in the various issues of importance in society today, and pray for awakening. That's why we always encourage prayer for awakening. And even if a local church didn't want to make a campaign, call senators, call this and that, at the very least, educate your people to what's happening. Because the implications is they're massive. Same-sex marriage becoming legal in New York, it's massive in its implications through schools and so many other facets of society. So at least educate the people and at least call them to pray. Hey, Terry, we've got a break coming up, but thank you for the call. Appreciate your perspective. Yes, the church needs awakening. The good news is God will respond as we cry out. God will respond as we cry out. Do your best not to get embittered towards those who may not be speaking up, not to judge them negatively, but pray that the blessing of God and the fire of God would touch their lives in a fresh new way, that they would catch the burden of the Lord like never before. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the luncheon I was at earlier today in Charlotte with about 50 business leaders, pastors, other key leaders, influencers in the community, I was able to give away to everyone there that did not have a book previously. I was able to give them a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which sells for $27.99, almost 700-page hardcover. Many of you already have the book yourselves, so you appreciate the size of the book. I was able to give that away to everyone there. We didn't have to receive an offering to do it. We didn't have to specially fund it. A retail value of over $1,000 or so of books, we were able to give them away because some of you faithful listeners and supporters called in weeks past and said, I'd like to sponsor the distribution of that book. I'd like to sponsor getting that out to people. So, hey, our offer still stands. If you send us a gift of $100, we will get 5 copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of key leaders across the nation. You can do that by calling 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. We're talking about the spiritual battle that we're in. And again, we have to be reminded that it's a spiritual battle. I told you yesterday on the broadcast that it's very easy to get upset and to chafe. You know, I'm looking at a report, a gay politics report. It's twice a week they send out news summaries for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender identified community. And it says New York marriage victory pumps up pride celebrations, meaning gay pride celebrations around the world. 1,000 celebrated outside the historic Stonewall Inn Bar in New York City on Friday night, so on along the parade route, Manhattan on Sunday. Deafening cheers erupted for Governor Andrew Cuomo, who had made the issue a priority of his administration in Paris. Pride revelers hailed the news from New York and urged French political leaders to follow suit. A crowd estimated that 750,000, that's what they're claiming, turned out for Chicago's Pride Parade, a 50% increase over last year's attendance. And I said, don't get riled by this. Don't get upset by this. Pride goes before a fall. And ultimately, these are all people for whom Jesus died, whom we desire to see come to repentance and faith and salvation and transformation. One little thing every one of you can do, if you're on Facebook, just click on our page, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and just like it. Just click that you like it. It'll appear on your home page, and then people see that. We just want to draw more attention to the book because we know getting this book out into the hands of people across America is of massive importance. Before we open up the scriptures about repentance, I just want to get to a couple more calls. Michelle in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, Michelle.
I just wanted to call in because I think you said a very insightful thing when you said that future generations will look back at us and say, oh, we could have done the easy thing and gone with it, or we could have done the hard thing and stand up for what's right. And I think that's really important, especially when we're thinking about what kinds of laws our government should make. I'm a big believer in the separation of church and state and religion and politics, not just for the state, but for the churches. I don't think that anyone should be told what they should believe or how they should personally act. And I mean, I think when you get right down to it, at the end of the day, if we were to make a law against anything that anyone's religious book said was bad, I mean, the Quran says that being a Christian is bad. So should we make being a Christian illegal? I don't think so. The law in New York that was passed doesn't make anyone be gay or have a same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even force any religious organizations to perform same-sex marriages. So what you're doing is looking at what's best for society and
right,
saying,
having strong families.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you a question, Michelle.
Sure.
There are many implications with this, by the way, and it will influence what's taught in schools to children. We've already seen this in other states, and it will make moral statements, and it will have religious implications. But let's just put that aside for the moment. We're in a democracy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you may be an atheist, or you may be a Hindu, or you may be a conservative Christian. All these things may fuel into your life, and then you vote accordingly, right? And
well,
then you want
vote-
In other words, you vote according to your own convictions, your own...
Yes, I vote according to my convictions.
Right. So my convictions are that for the good of society, religion or not, marriage needs to be the union of a man and a woman. And once we deviate from that, it's destructive. So
do you believe that there should be a law making being an atheist illegal?
Well, Christianity be legally mandated?
No. Wouldn't that be better for society in your view?
Michelle, hang on for a second. Who brought religion in? You just did. I didn't. I said without religion, my understanding of marriage is that it needs to be the union of a man and woman, and that's in the best interest of society. So I shouldn't be allowed to vote for that. I shouldn't be allowed to vote for a thousand reasons. Were you raised by a mom and dad, Michelle?
I was raised mostly by my mom, but yes, my dad was physically present.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have the benefit of having a solid dad raising you?
No.
Okay, that's a loss. You're guaranteeing that every same-sex couple with a kid will either have no mom or no dad. Guaranteeing that by doing this, which is a total disservice. Thousands and thousands of studies over decades have indicated that kids do best with a mom and dad, and then as
they
grow up.
That's not true, actually. Lesbians raise better kids than heterosexual parents, actually. They do
Michelle?
Better in school. They're more
Michelle?
Well-adjusted. It's true. You can lie about the science if you want, but I don't think your listeners appreciate that.
Michelle? You
yeah.
just disqualified yourself from any serious academic discussion in what you just said. Tell you what, cite three studies that give us a 30-year window where lesbian moms are compared to heterosexual parents, not to single moms, but to heterosexual
parents.
I'm
standing in a parking garage. I can't look up citations for you.
All right. Well, tell you what, send them in to me because I've researched this massively. And tell you what I'll do. Since you seem to be a thinking person, how would you like to receive a free copy of my book with over 1,500 endnotes called The Queer Thing Happened to America, sent to you free. You can send it's a post office box. You don't worry about someone tracing you down. Because what you're speaking of is an extraordinarily intolerant, biased, bigoted viewpoint against religion, completely different than the founding fathers ever desired, and basically saying that if someone differs with your viewpoint, well, here, tell you what, I've got a break coming up. I'm happy to talk to you after the break. But one question, should we limit marriage to just two people? Isn't that bigoted and intolerant? Shouldn't we open up the possibility of polygamy?
I think that's a separate discussion. We can talk
I just like your view on that.
We can talk about whether or not black people and white people should be allowed to get married. They used to not be allowed to get married.
We can talk about each one of those things individually. All right, so just your view real quick. Should we open the door to polygamy because many people feel it's discriminatory that we don't allow it?
I don't personally have any problem with non-coercive multiple partner relationships.
Got it.
I have polyamorous friends. They're very nice people.
Got it. All right. So at least you're consistent. Tell you what, stay on the line. If you will let us send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, when you get a chance to read it, you can send me your thoughts on it. All right. But I do appreciate your calling and differ with me. I really do appreciate it that we can have
a civil and
spirited argument. Stay on the line. All right. Well, great. I love to hear from folks like Michelle. I just had my eye on the clock because we are running out of time here. And we will. Later in the broadcast, open up the scriptures on repentance, open up the scriptures on the spiritual battle that we're in. Those of you who are signing off now, hey, have an awesome day. Follow Jesus. Lift him up. Let us make a difference in our society. Let us shine light into darkness.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I really hope you got to hear the call I just had with Michelle from D.C., and if I had more time, I would have had her on for a longer period of time so that we could really hear what she was saying and express our differences. My friend Frank Turek, who hopefully we're going to have on the air tomorrow, you got to hear what's happened to him. His recent story is quite remarkable. But he's got a book, Correct But Not Politically Correct, Why Same-Sex Marriage is Bad for Everyone, but it doesn't use the Bible. It doesn't use the Bible at all. I want to emphasize this again, friends. Our message to the world is a message of repentance. It is a message of love. It is a message of turn from sin and turn to God. It is a message of life. In fact, Acts, the 11th chapter, speaks of Gentiles who were saved through Peter's message as he preached Jesus, that God granted them repentance to life. Whether there's a conscious recognition of the guilt of sin and wailing and mourning and repentance, as happened to some of us, or happens often in revival times, or there's simply a recognition, this is the light, I've been in darkness, and you pursue the light, it is repentance. It is a turnaround. It is an about face. It's the message that John the Immerser, John the Baptist, began with, the message that Jesus began with, the message that the apostles began with. It's foundational. And Michelle, who just called in, made reference to her polyamorous friends who were nice. If you don't know what polyamorous means, that means multiple loving relationships but not in marriage. So polygamy would be one man, say, with three or four wives. Polyamory would be maybe a woman, her husband, and her boyfriend, and they all live together. Or a man and his wife and her bisexual friend, girlfriend, and another lady. And according to Newsweek, there are at least a 500,000 couples like this in America. And Newsweek said a couple of years ago, hey, this is the next sexual revolution. Of course, I documented it in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. But this is the next sexual revolution. Traditionalists better get ready for it. That's why we come into the world swimming against the tide. Just recognize that that's our place here, swimming against the tide. Let's not get caught up in success. If we have a strong Christian in sports or a strong Christian in politics or a strong Christian in here or there, let's not get caught up with that, because we are swimming against the tide, bringing a message that's unpopular with this world, but it is the message of salvation, the message of repentance. Bob in Hyattsville, Maryland, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
My pleasure, Dr. Brown. Well, I'm responding to your initial statement before the show, but I think I've been enriched by all the stuff I've heard since then. The easy part is you think you're seeking God, but he's drawing you to him, and he saves you, and then you realize he's been drawing you. After a while, it took me a while. And then the hard part is repentance, because you've got the submitting to the Holy Spirit should be the easiest thing in the world, but then we still have the world, the flesh, and the adversary. I don't like that. Sounds like a more politically correct term, but you know what I mean.
That's right.
And, you know, whether it be homosexuality or whether it be so many other things, I find that to be the hard part. You were talking about some people in history who, it sounds like the more they repented, and literally repented and would not bend from it, the more susceptible they were to be killed for their faith. And I think ultimately, if we've given ourselves to Christ, or he's taken us, chosen us, whether you want to call it free will, chosen, you know, you're talking about predestination, free will, that's what it's going to come down to. Nobody's ever put a gun to my head and said, renounce Christ. I hope it never happens. But if it does, I believe he'll give me the strength to deal with it. He'll give me the grace to deal with it. I think it falls into what you're talking about there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I'm just going to jump in because I've got a break coming up. But, yes, Bob, I think the key thing is this, that it's a choice we make every day, because most of us are not going to be martyred or have a gun put to our head. You're absolutely right. However, every day we offer the opportunity to choose what's right. Every day we have to lean on the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, give me strength and grace. You live in me. Help me to do what's right. Renew our minds, our hearts with the word of God. And we will be changed, and hence world changes. Back with a whole lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Repentance, it prepares the way of the Lord. It clears the way for the coming of the Lord. It turns us as believers away from that which defiles, that which is destructive. It humbles the proud. It lifts up the discouraged and downhearted. Repentance prepares the way for the coming of the Lord. John the Immerser said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus takes that message up. Read Matthew 3 and Matthew 4. It says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus tells folks in Luke, the 5th chapter, he didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, that those are the ones who need a physician. Those are the ones who need help. I saw a picture, a friend of mine, an evangelist, preaching in Los Angeles at the Coliseum there, I think, and there was a choir of over 1,000 women, all of whom came out of prostitution. Isn't that glorious? The gospel choir. That's the power of repentance, friends. Turn. Turn and be saved. Turn from your sin. Turn to the one who died for you to have a true life, a life in God, a life serving God. And friends, as we live that out on a daily basis, as we're confronted with choices to make, let's remember that we are new creations in Jesus. Let's remember that the one who began the good work in us will bring it to completion. Let's remember that the Holy Spirit lives on us and lives in us. And as the Word of God is in our hearts and minds, as we meditate on it, think about it, read it. You may be able to memorize it really easy. You may not be able to remember where this is in the Bible. Just get it in front of you, digest it, take it in. I remember Nancy used to tell other moms when she was raising our daughters and they were little at home and you're busy through the day, that you know how busy and difficult it can be, challenging being a mom, all the stuff going on. You don't have the hours you used to have just free during the day. If you have it, you try to catch a nap when the kids are napping. And she'd just keep the Bible open in the kitchen because that was the room she was in the most. And whenever she just walked by, just stop and read, meditate, take something in. And out of that life, it helps us to repent personally. And as we minister to those in the world and introduce them to Jesus, it helps us bring them into repentance. Jesus lays it out in Luke 24, the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached beginning in Jerusalem. And then Peter starts with that message in Acts 2 when people say, what do we do? What do we do to be saved? He says, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Repentance and forgiveness of sins go hand in hand. By the way, when that caller mentioned Michelle, before the break, that it's been demonstrated that kids raised by lesbians do better than kids raised in heterosexual homes. First, most of the studies to date have been way too limited and flawed in many ways in terms of statistically and the level of the analysis to be really hold up, say, in a court of law and that kind of setting. But when the first major studies were done that I'm aware of comparing lesbian mothers to heterosexual mothers, it was too lesbian women compared to a single mother. So that's not a fair comparison. We're talking about compared to a mom and dad. That's one thing. The second thing is, as more studies have been coming in, the kids may do fine in school. They may do fine in other ways. However, there's a much higher percentage of the kids that end up themselves being same-sex attracted or gay identified. There is more gender identity confusion. Studies have indicated that, say, girls raised by lesbian moms will be masculinized. Boys raised by lesbian moms will be feminized. There's even more breaking of various boundaries with sexual immorality, etc. So ask the right questions, you get the right answers. All right, Mary in Alexandria, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
I'm sure know that last week was the feast of St. John the Baptist, and you're a teller of truth, and you're very much like John the Baptist, and it's nice that you say often that be gentle and speak the truth. Anyway, I hope what I'm going to say isn't too controversial for some people, but when did homosexuality stop being an abnormality, a dysfunction, a chemical imbalance? When did it all of a sudden become a choice?
Let me try to answer that. First, I don't know that anyone argued that it was a chemical imbalance. And homosexuals would say it's not a choice. That's the whole thing. This is how they're born. And they can't choose not to be like this. Of course, people can choose how to behave. They can choose what to do with attractions that they have. But basically, the technical answer to your question was in 1973, the American Psychiatric Association depathologized homosexuality. Up until that point, it was considered in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is kind of like the Bible of psychiatry and psychology. It was considered to be a mental or emotional disorder. For example, schizophrenia is still considered to be a mental or emotional disorder. Well, homosexuality was also considered to be that. And there was a gay rights activist pressure on the APA on a serious level. And then others became more sympathetic to the subject and looked into it. Anyway, it was put to a vote under some level of pressure and duress and with gay activist funding helping the thing go forward. But it was put to a vote. And the prevailing arguments were, well, look, for these people, they're functioning fine in society, and they're not troubled by their same-sex attractions. Therefore, we shouldn't call it a disorder. So that's technically when it got depathologized, and then the American Psychological Association followed behind, and then one group after another. So you'll always see this list of all these groups who say that it's not disorder of any kind, it's not an abnormality of any kind. And, of course, most of them are just following the decisions of the American Psychiatric and Psychological Association. So who does that leave? Who does that leave standing against homosexual practice? Well, it leaves the church, basically. Of course, in Islamic countries or in a Jewish-dominated country, it would leave those religions. But basically, in America, the argument would be, well, it's a sickness and it's a sin. Well, the APA said it's not a sickness, and now many churches are saying it's not a sin. So we remain the last vestige of moral truth right now, saying we love the people, we care for the people, but
absolutely,
homosexual practice
but
is a sin.
We don't care for the sin. We don't accept the sin.
Yeah, now, see, if you tell someone who says they're gay, I love you, but I hate your sin, they hear, you hate me because this is who I am. What we need to say is I fully embrace you as a fellow human being, but I don't believe God made you gay, and homosexual practice is sin. And God does have a better way. But Mary, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. And hey, no statement's going to be deemed too controversial. I can agree with it or differ with it, but you can freely air your thoughts and opinions here. Curtis in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Curtis.
Yes, Dr. Brown, long-time listener, first-time caller. I highly commend you for the work that you're doing. And I want to just encourage you to keep up the good work.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a longtime listener, Curtis. And look, we got to be encouraged in our spirit no matter what's happening around us. You know, there's bad news every day, and some days there is very bad news. And yet in God, we don't have to fear bad news.
Yes, but listen to this. I have a comment to make. It'll take me probably about 30 seconds.
I'm all ears, sir.
I was listening to the broadcast to you last week, and I heard one of your callers said that everyone is entitled to express themselves about this, you know, same-sex marriage thing. Well, you know, God also has the right to express himself. And if you will allow me, I would just like to read two quick, brief quotes from the Bible.
Please.
I'm reading from Leviticus chapter 18, the Old Testament book of Leviticus. It starts out by saying forbidden sexual practices. Leviticus 18, verse 22. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Then the last one I would like to take from Romans chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error of their reward.
Yes,
and of the error which was meet. Very quickly, everyone is entitled to express their opinion. We find the Lord to Moses is expressing to the people, mainly the children of Israel, but to people in general, his expression. And we must continue to do what Paul admonished the young pastor Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season, be instant, whether they hear you or not. We have to express our views. I listen to people of other persuasions, other religious backgrounds. I don't get upset. because that's their right to express themselves.
Exactly.
Why is everyone getting so upset when Christians are expressing themselves? So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to read those two scriptures.
Yes, thank you. And Curtis, you know, I've studied these from every angle as much as I possibly can, and they are as plain as they sound. They are as clear as they sound. God's good and holy standard remains the same. And the reason, Curtis, that people get upset when we quote scripture is because it does bring convicting truth. It does shine light into darkness. Hey, thanks for calling. Continue to be strong in the Lord. We'll be back. Oh, there's a call coming you don't want to miss.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, the things that we've been talking about through the months, through the years, are not just abstract. They have to do with where you and I live in this world, the world our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids live in or will live in. As I've quoted before, and it's in the front of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. These are critically important questions, and it is not a matter of the church trying to impose its ways on the state. It's a matter of people in a democracy standing up for their convictions and seeking what is in the best interest of the society. Those of us who have come to know God know his ways are best, and to the extent we can live him out and model them and show a repentance-filled, joy-filled life, the world will recognize the truth of God. All right, Nancy in Bayshore, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I wanted to make a comment in regards to the young lady who just called from D.C., Michelle.
Yes.
I hear her, and I hear where she's coming from in terms of that perspective of separation of church and state and all of that. But a comment that she made about that lesbians, you know, are better parents than heterosexuals, I have to disagree with her, because I was raised by lesbians. And not that they were horrible. I mean, I love my mother, and I call her Fifi. But one thing that was missing was, I didn't learn about men and what a man is like. I didn't have a male figure in my life, and that caused a lot of problems for me as a young woman. And I was attracted to men, but I was attracting the wrong man because I didn't know what a man was like. So I think there's a deficiency there that two females, or you know, can't give it as the same thing as two men can't give to a female. You know, I just think that we're born with certain predispositions, and given the environment that we're in, can really be detrimental. So I just wanted to put that out there, because I totally disagree with what she said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nancy, I'm so glad that you called. And what you're saying, of course, is self-evident. How could you ever see a model of how a woman relates to a man and a man relates to a woman? You never saw that modeled for you. How could you understand the role of a dad raising his daughter and what he brings to the equation? You never had that. So, Nancy, how old are you today?
I'm 45.
45. And for what period of your life were you raised by lesbians? From what ages?
Well, I was an infant when I was brought into the home. And I ran away from home when I was 15 because I knew with it. I mean, I was never raised in the church. I wasn't, you know, a professing Christian or anything like that. But I knew something was wrong. Something was wrong in that home. And I ran away from home as far away as I could. And I had other issues because I was abandoned by my biological parents. You know, so the circumstances are, you know, the extenuating circumstances. But still, I knew something was wrong in that home. And as I got older, you know, I learned to appreciate them for who they are as individuals, and I love them to death. But I still knew within me as a young child that something was off, something was wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
Nancy, I mean, you speak for so many. You loved the women that raised you, you love them as people, but something was fundamentally wrong. Let me ask you one last question. What kind of attitude did they have to men in general from what you were able to pick up? Was there hostility? Was there...
Definitely hostility. And I grew up with the understanding that you don't need a man. And that goes into some other stuff like, women's lib and all that other stuff. But I was raised that you don't need a man. You don't need a man, and a man is obsolete. You can have a baby with a man, and that's it. Like, a man is obsolete. And so I grew up with that attitude. And I'm not saying that every lesbian couple is going to teach that to their child, but this was my experience, my experience.
Right, and it's Nancy. From everything I understand, it's not an uncommon experience. So you came to meet the Lord later in life. That was obviously the major transformation factor.
Yes. As I got older, I thank God. You put people in my life that showed me the scriptures, and I was able, to get in a right relationship with God. And it's been a journey, and I thank God for that. And my heart goes out to every single homosexual. I have tons in my family. And so my heart goes out because it is a struggle, because they in one breath they're saying that they love God, but in the other breath they're saying this can't be wrong. So then you're negating God. It's either God's infallible word or it's not. But it goes, I understand that it's something from the flesh. It is your flesh crying out for this thing, and you're subjecting yourself to you're idolizing this, whether you admit it or not. I know it's a struggle, and my heart goes out. I understand. And I think that as a Christian community, that's the compassion that needs to come through. When we start telling people that you're an abomination and using all these words and putting people down, it's just, let me tell you something. There's a huge persecution going on with Christians because everybody's put in the same bag. We're all haters.
Yep.
We have to learn how to talk to people, how to love them. Just like Jesus loved the prostitute and loved everybody else, we need to develop that language so that we are not, in the end, we can't compromise. God's word is God's word, but you gotta treat people for who they are as human beings. I love my mother. If I have to give her a kidney, I give it to her. What I'm saying is, she's my mother. Do I agree with her lifestyle? No. Do I believe it's a choice? Yes, I do. But homosexuals will tell me no, that it's not. And she's 73 years old, and she's still a lesbian, and she knows herself, and she'll tell me that she knows that this is not right with God. But she's not
going to
change it.
Hey, Nancy, let's do this. Let's put out a call to all of our listeners right now to pray for Nancy's mom, 73 years old, to pray that she would get such an extraordinary revelation of the love of God, an extraordinary revelation of her own sin, that the love of God would transform her, that she would receive forgiveness and brand new life. Hey, Nancy, call in anytime. Deeply appreciate your own story and everything you had to say. God bless you. Thanks for being a voice to many, many people today. And we will be praying for your mom. God bless you.
Thank you.
Friends, one reason that we have been so burdened to be on in different parts of America is because the more people that are listening, the more people like Nancy are out there to call in. So let's really pray for Nancy's mom. Boy, I don't know if Michelle's going to hear that call or not, but it'd be awesome if we can get that call to Michelle to hear as well, the woman that called in about a half hour ago and had a very different view and take on things. But friends, this is just a little cross-section of those that are listening to us. I want to thank those of you who pray for us. I want to thank those of you who stand with us financially. I want to thank those of you who send in words of encouragement. By God's grace, we are determined to go to do what's right regardless of cost or consequence. If you want to stand with us, if you want to become a torchbearer, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, God's order, God's ways are in the best interest of the human race. Let us stand for them. Let us stand for what is right. Let us not be ashamed. Let us speak the truth to power, and let the consequences come as they may. The weapons with which we fight are spiritual weapons, and it has often been said that the first word of the message we bring is repent. Is that good news or bad news?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there is there's something energizing about being on live radio, live talk radio. Every so often, because of unavoidable extenuating circumstances, it could be something with travel internationally or something else. Every so often, very, very rarely, I will pre-record programs, 2 hours of programming for the 2 hours we're on across the country in different listening areas. And I feel God's favor on it. I often find myself smiling as I'm doing the recording and just enjoying putting out the material for radio. I love doing it. But the problem is it's not live. I can't take calls. And there's something energizing about your calls, about your comments, about your insights, about people who differ, about people who agree. And in this last hour, we had two calls that were quite noteworthy. And I want to tell you about them in a moment. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Because I didn't take calls yesterday. If you do want to weigh in, regardless of where you live, if you want to weigh in on what happened in New York with the passing of same-sex marriage, legalizing of same-sex marriage, if you'd like to weigh in on that or any thoughts or comments, feel free to do so. 866-34-TRUTH, or on our homepage, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I do want to talk to you, though, today about the fact that we are in a spiritual battle, to remind you that our battle is not with people, to remind you that as we wage war, it's not as the world does. We don't hate people. We're not out to hurt people. When people who don't know the Lord hear things like, war, wage war, that's hate. No. Remember the old hymn, Onward Christian Soldier Marching As to War? Well, when people sang that, they weren't thinking, you know, someone's about to take up arms and start, unless maybe you were a Jewish person who had been persecuted in Eastern Europe and then came over here and hear these Christians singing Onward Christian Soldiers, then you might have misunderstood it. But the fact is, these are all spiritual terms. These are all spiritual concepts. We must understand that the abortion doctor is hated by the devil, that the prostitute is hated by the devil, that the drug dealer is hated by the devil, that the gay activist is hated by the devil, that the atheist is hated by the devil, that the religious hypocrite is hated by the devil. And the devil is our common enemy. And we will overcome as we take hold of God in prayer, the extraordinary open door he's given us to seek him and cry out to him and look to him for him to move and act. And as we go into the world with a message, not to soothe the conscience, but a message of repentance in life, turn away from your sin, turn to God by the power of the blood of Jesus and be changed. In our first hour, which airs in New York and D.C. and other locations in America, we got a call from a woman named Michelle who completely opposed my moral view. It was great that she called. I was pleased to have her differ with me. And you can listen to the whole show later today. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. She expressed her differences and claimed, in the midst of things, that studies have indicated that children raised by lesbians did even better than kids raised in heterosexual homes, which, of course, is bogus. And I was saying, you know, what's interesting is that studies have indicated that kids raised, say, by lesbians, that girls get masculinized, that boys get feminized, that there's more sexual immorality or gender confusion or homosexuality, etc. Well, we got a call from a woman named Nancy who was raised by lesbian moms, abandoned by her biological parents, raised by lesbian moms. And she talked about the terrible void that was in her life and not knowing how to relate to a man, and the hostility towards men in that household till she ran away at the age of 15 and then came to know the Lord years later. Amazing, but true. Change the world.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Of course, the nation is talking about the same-sex marriage ruling in New York, and this is now shooting great hope to gay activists across America and to others saying, hey, this is going to spread across the country. It's shooting a message, sending a message across the world to other homosexual communities. I remind you again, we're not fighting people. Our battle is spiritual. We want every human being to know the love of God that transforms, to know repentance to life. So our battle is spiritual. And to the extent we can keep our focus in the Lord and then stand up and do what's right, have the courage to stand up and do what's right, history will look back on us. And in fact, at the throne of God, we will be commended rather than rebuked. 866-34-TRUTH. I've heard it said that repent is the first word of the gospel. Many years ago, I questioned that and began to run through the verses in my mind that references to repent and repent, 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 repentance. Then began to supplement that just with a concordance. And I thought, whoa, look at this. It's a foundational message. Why? Because we're going against the grain of the world. Because we're swimming against the tide of the world. Because as followers of Jesus, he says to us, you're in the world, but not of it. I've called you out of it. So our values are different. You say, what about separation of church and state? We are not trying to set up a theocracy and make everyone be Christian. We are in this world to bring an influence for God. We are in this world to bring a message of life and truth. We are in this world to bring a message of repentance and salvation. So we obediently follow the Lord, even when it's difficult, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's controversial, because he's our goal, he's our standard. And as democratic citizens, since we're in a democracy, we vote according to our moral convictions and to our social convictions and our economic convictions and political convictions. We do that. If we were in ancient Rome, where we didn't have that ability to vote, then we still live out the gospel. See, that's the biggest thing we can do, is live out the gospel. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is really meant to sound the alarm, awaken the conscience of the nation. People who didn't want to read it a month ago, didn't think it was relevant, realize it's a lot more relevant than they even realized. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Tom in Queens, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, good to be on the show. It's so refreshing to hear someone with a ministry like yours preaching love like you do in through the true gospel and a lack of compromise, no compromise.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I live in New York, and I go to a church where we had a knock on the door, so to speak, from our lawyer. And they talked to our leadership, and they said, be sure to have, this was before the vote for gay marriage, be sure you have in your bylaws the fact that you do not allow gay marriage. Don't do gay marriage. Because if we didn't, it's possible that if a couple, get this, if a couple came to our church and insisted on gay marriage, we could be brought up on charges.
Right. In other words, the religious exemption would say that a church institution does not have to perform gay marriage. But obviously, there's always the question of pressing, well, what was your view on it? What did you actually hold to? So these folks are legally saying, let's be on the ball with this and make sure that we have this exemption and that we have this stated. Here's the deal, though. It won't be long before that exemption is threatened and challenged.
That's what I thought, too. I wanted to mention that, too.
Yeah, in point of fact, people need to make sure. I mean, it's less than 30 days from now when this goes into effect, and sure, people should do what they need to do to cover their bases. But the bigger issue is going to be that you will be codified as a bigot, that you will be looked at in the same way as those who supported slavery in the past, or neo-Nazi skinheads, or KKK. That's how you'll be viewed. And because of that, there's going to be increasing pressure. What I've seen with gay activists is the goalposts keep moving. Once this is satisfactory today, tomorrow it's not satisfactory anymore. Just like in the schools, there's something just at the luncheon I was at today with business and church leaders in Charlotte. I showed them the Riddle Homophobia Scale by Dorothy Riddle, which is used in high schools and other places to evaluate homophobic levels of attitude versus positive levels of attitude. And among the homophobic levels of attitude were pity, repulsion, and then tolerance and acceptance. So tolerating and accepting is now considered homophobic. Rather, there needed to be support and admiration and nurturance. That's what needed to be there. So the goalposts keep...
Well, I give a devil an inch, it takes a mile.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's the case. And because ultimately, homosexuals are not affirmed by God in their homosexuality, regardless of what they say and claim. They are not affirmed by God in their homosexuality. They will ultimately look for affirmation from other places. Of course, when I say that, you know, homosexuals will look at me, I'm insane and just crazy, bigoted, lost my mind. That's fine. They can have their view.
No, it is worthy of note, too, that I go to a wonderful all-black church. Yeah, we're going to be called bigots because we're against gay marriage.
Oh, yeah. I told black pastors today. I told black pastors today, you'll be associated with KKK. I'm Jewish. I get called Hitler, you know?
Yeah,
I said,
really?
You'll be associated with the KKK even though you're black, because this is an issue that is more divisive than the issue of race, because it's a moral issue. But, Tom, thanks for the call. Continue to be strong in the Lord, sir.
I really agree with you. I think we really have to prepare, because it could be that soon our churches are going to be closed down, some of them. And we're just going to have to stand up and remain being the church and keep standing against evil.
Yeah, I mean, look, the opposition is going to come one way or another. How far it goes with religious freedoms is a matter of debate. But the bottom line is that so many have compromised already. So many have caved in because you don't want to lose a tithing member, or you don't want to offend a rich churchgoer, or you know, whatever it is. So we need to stand strong and do what's right. Hey, Tom, thank you for the call. Thomas in Wallach, Rhode Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, brother?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on this. I know time won't prohibit me to make all the points that I want to make. It would have been nice if I could have spoke with you on there. First off, let me say that I totally appreciate and agree with your approach to this issue. My points come from, you know, a worldly, you know, in a kingdom view, kingdom, you know, biblical view. On the worldly side, this is not a question of legality, from my perspective. It's a question of recognition. There is nothing, no one is going to go to jail if two men decide that they have someone perform a marriage ceremony and they call themselves married. They're not going to go to jail. And it's really extremely frustrating when I heard the caller when the show was on air, you know, and people do it constantly when they compare the experience of African Americans in this country or so-called interracial marriage, you know, and stuff like that. I happen to be African American and my wife is a European American. It's extremely frustrating.
I mean, understood.
This is not a question even of acceptance. I don't need you to accept me when I walk on the bus, but I don't need you to stop me from sitting anywhere I want on the bus. I don't understand when people who identify themselves as homosexuals say that they are deprived of rights, as rights were taken away from them. So this is a question of having the states, businesses, you know, corporations, whatever the case may be, recognize what they consider to be marriage. So if I own a business, I have to accept the fact that these two men are married, and I have to provide health coverage for the spouse and so on and so forth. You know, I'm going with that.
Yes,
and
sir.
I feel that, you know, as Christians, you know, we have to be very careful not to get sucked into the trap of constantly debating the argument of homosexuality, because it's being framed now as if there are, you know, this is a whole nother species of human being where you have male, you have female, and then you have gay. That's a whole nother species of human. And from the biblical side, because my wife, you know, she works in a hospital. There's a young man who is thinking about when he's 18 years old, you know, becoming a woman. And, you know, right now he wears pocketbooks. He volunteers at the hospital. And he, you know, she was speaking to him and got a little bit of his life story. And, you know, his mom, they go to some church where the pastor's a lesbian and so on and so forth. And, you know, the kid is completely confused. And she really likes this young man, you know, as a friend. He's comfortable so on and so forth. But she's torn apart because, you know, she knows that the lifestyle is wrong. So we had the conversation on how should she approach speaking to him about what he's doing. So I made the analogy, and it might sound harsh, of a person who is addicted to, let's say, crack cocaine. While they're on addicted to crack and they're fiending for the drug, they're not going to hear you tell them that they need to get off this particular drug. Her telling him about how being a homosexual...
Hey, Thomas, tell you what, hang on. I'll let you finish on the other side of the break. Okay. Just stay with us. All right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's that number to call to get in the conversation today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've had a lot of callers the first hour and now the second hour who've wanted to talk about the same-sex marriage ruling in New York, some of the implications of that, and been weaving that in with the reminder that the battle we're in is a spiritual battle and that our message to the world consistently, beginning with John the Immerser, John the Baptist in Matthew 3, and then Jesus in Matthew 4, and then the 12 disciples in Mark 6, and then ongoing with the apostles in Acts 2 and beyond, is the message of repentance. Turn and be saved. Turn and be transformed. God has a better way. You can weigh in on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And hey, just something very quickly, all of you can do if you're on Facebook is like our page for the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So just type in A Queer Thing. It'll get you to our page on Facebook. Just like it. That'll then put it on your page for others to like. Just a good way to spread the word about the book, which people are recognizing by the day is more important than they realized. Thomas from Rhode Island, I do appreciate what you're saying, the frustration that you have as an African-American man and seeing the homosexual movement basically hijack the civil rights movement and say it's a matter of civil rights. And you are absolutely right. It is a matter of recognition. But right before the break, you were sharing a situation about a young man that your wife has been ministering to in the hospital setting where she is, as he does volunteer work and wants to have sex change surgery at 18. And you were just saying getting the message to him and trying to get him to hear now would be equivalent to if someone's addicted to a drug in the midst of the addiction, it's hard for them to hear. I wanted to hear the rest of what you had to say. So back to you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, and real quick, because I know, you know, you got time for other things, but so basically, you know, how I try to speak with my wife about the situation, because the kid is pretty torn up. She can tell that he's torn up. He's convicted inside with who he is and what the world is saying. And because in today's day and age, it's almost cool, you know, to be a hip, sophisticated gay person or whatever the case may be. So I just told her this is a tremendous opportunity. The Lord, I believe, is drawing this young man to himself through you. So, you know, if you introduce him to Christ and you just speak simply about Christ and what Christ has done for us, and this boy, you know, gets the message where he wants to be saved. He wants to have Christ in his heart. He accepts Christ. It's going to be impossible for him to be a homosexual. The Holy Spirit will obviously, you know, convict his heart and clear his mind and let him see, and he will become a man of God. But the problem for us as Christians where these worlds merge is because the enemy is taking this debate and hiding it undercover under the civil rights movement and changing definitions by calling this, you know, trying to legalize gay marriage, you know. If I and my wife, you know, obviously years ago, if we would be together, it was against the law where I could be put in jail or executed in some fashion. So the legality question is, this is more of, let's get the states, let's get the military, let's get everybody to recognize this. And through the state, everyone else would have no choice
but to recognize it.
Recognize it, right, and then promote it as well. Yeah, and that's
exactly
what happens. But and Thomas, you know what you're saying
is. I'll call another time when we have time. I love talking to you, Dr. Brown.
All
I
right,
really
thanks,
appreciate
man.
Your program.
I appreciate it. God bless you. Thanks, Thomas. I gave Thomas some extra time there. He actually had held all the way over from the first hour into the second. That's why when he mentioned being on the air, you're listening. What do you mean being when it was on the air? He was listening in one of our stations in our first hour. But because here is a black man married to a white woman, he would be the perfect example of the ones the gay rights activists want to say, see, people like that couldn't be married before. See, well, no, that was wrong. That was wrong. There were man and woman, which are the fundamental participants for marriage, and they should have had every reason to be married. It was because of bigotry and racism that we disallow that. But to say two men shouldn't be married, it's because it's not a man and woman. And marriage is the union of a man and woman for 1,001 reasons. When I debated Professor Eric Small about this issue in University of Central Florida in April, he had no solid answers as to why marriage should just be two people unless it is the union of a man and a woman. And anyway, enough said on that. I believe, for most part, preaching to the choir on that. For those of you who differ with me, call in and tell me why. Trust me, I may differ with you, but I don't bite. It's safe to call in with your differences. Just make sure you have your arguments in order, all right? Because once you get on the air, you might get nervous. Make sure you have your arguments in order in case I differ with you. You don't want to get flustered, all right? 866-34-TRUTH, Shirley in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hang on. I am just having a slight problem. There we go. Thank you. Welcome to the Line of Fire,
Thanks,
Shirley.
Dr. Brown. Yes, thank you. Here is something to think of, to think on. We don't work on the right problems, and so we teach people in this country not to work on the right problems. Herman Cain is a great provider of encouraging muse. When you work on the right problem, you'll come up with the right solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids who are homosexual, they think, who are lesbian, they think, or what have you, they think. These are broken-hearted children. Children of 50%, I would venture to say 50% have been molested. So the right problem is to go to that person who did that, look them in the eye and say, unless you get help, I'm never going to speak to you again. And I may not ever speak to you again. So they can't do that. They can't do that. So what they do is they find enough. That couldn't be the answer. The answer is over here. This person is the reason, because they do not want to approach the person who is the problem. And we don't have any lessons in this country that says this is how you handle a molester. We don't even want to talk about that. So these kids are just saddled with this hurt in their heart. Now, there is, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, there's a way that you handle that very quickly. Pastors and teachers can handle that very quickly and cause this person to get on the right track. But when
I'm sorry. Yeah, let me just jump in, Shirley, because I've got a break that I'm up
right
against here. So let me just jump in and affirm this. We have to minister to the whole human being. And regardless of the cause of where someone is today, regardless of what got them there, there is a history. They are whole human beings. And if we just focus on one thing or behavior or attraction, focus on that without ministering to them as complete human beings with a history that may have other issues behind it, we won't really be able to minister. We'll just stop that. That's wrong. That's bad. As opposed to coming with a transforming message for the whole life. Hey, Shirley, sorry I didn't have more time. Got a break. If you want to help us get copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America out to the maximum number of people. We've got lists now, leaders. We were able to give out books today because of a generous sponsor. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 and say you'd like to sponsor copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. For every $100, we can get 5 books into the hands of leaders across America. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nations.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I am pumped. I am charged in my spirit today. I am believing God that His power, His triumph, His grace will make a difference in our generation. And even as there's darkness all around us, that light will shine all the more brightly. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm talking more today about the spiritual battle that we're in, about how the message of repentance to the church and to the world is a message of life and transformation. How the greatest victories we can win are alone with God on our knees, or praying with others together, crying out to God. Saturday night, I did a message at Fire about God hears the cries of the righteous. And friends, as we cry out, God is near to the brokenhearted. We don't have to be able to pray the big, powerful prayers. Some of you pray like that. That's just fine. We don't have to know all the right words, although some of you are very articulate when you pray. It's the cry from that heart. Some of you moms who've been so broken over the state of your kids, you can pray in a way that touches heaven, that no one else can pray. Some of you dads that have been grieved over a wayward loved one, and you can touch God. Wherever you are in society and you see stuff around you, it grieves you, and we're all grieved over the same-sex marriage ruling in New York over the weekend and how that's energized gay activists all around the world. They can gloat. They can have their moment to gloat. They can think this is a celebration. This is a good thing. We grieve, but we don't fight the way they fight. And I don't mean that they're out to be violent. I'm simply saying that our battle is a spiritual battle. And as we take hold of God in faith and in prayer, friends, that's where we will see the great differences. And as we model and live out the message of repentance, turn from your sin, turn to God, have a brand new life. It's very difficult to argue against the power of a brand new life. It's very difficult to argue against the testimony of someone that once was what you might be right now. And you might say, there's no way I could ever change. And you know, let's just say, you know, you're terribly overweight and you think there's no way you go this far. There's no way you could ever come back. There's no way. It's just too long. It's too hard. And then you see an old friend of yours who used to be bigger than you, and they're in great shape now and doing great and looking great. You're like, wow, it's possible. Now, that may be challenging. It may be a little unnerving, but there's hope. Maybe you find yourself trapped in a particular sin, and you look around, you think, there's just no way out. Nobody ever gets out of this. I've tried so many times. And then you meet someone that you knew that was worse than you, and they're free and they're clean, and it's years and years have gone by, and they're telling you, hey, it's by the power of the gospel. Jesus can really do it. Friends, a changed life is an extraordinary witness to the world. Those who have come out of homosexuality, those who say, I once was living a decadent gay life, and now I'm living a holy life. Or I once was fully same-sex attracted, and now I'm heterosexually attracted. I'm changed. Jesus did it. Boy, trust me, people are going to try to silence you and tell you you're making it up and it can't be true and you're in denial and so on. But more and more people testify, more and more people testifying to the power of the gospel to change life, the message of repentance lived out. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be hard for the world to say no to that. 866-34-TRUTH, because I didn't take calls yesterday. If you do want to discuss what happened in New York, the implications with same-sex marriage, if you want to weigh in on that at all, or how it's affected you. Hey look, we've got a lot of folks listening right now in Atlanta. Atlanta has a very, very strong gay population, a very active gay population. The gay pride events through this year will be especially energized because of what's happened in New York. It can be intimidating. It can be disheartening. I saw a quote from a gay political brief claiming there were 750,000 people at gay pride in Chicago. If true, 750,000, twice last year's number, energized by what happened in New York. But I tell you, Jesus is Lord, and His kingdom is advancing nonetheless.
World.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know that God has not called us to be popular? That God has not called us to swim with the tide? That God has not called us to do what is politically correct? He's called us to honor him and to do what is right. Do you know that when you preach repentance, which is not a mean-spirited, angry, foaming-at-the-mouth message, you dirty sinner, you better repent or God will get you. No, it's repentance to life. It is repentance that is a turning away from that which is destructive and that which is selfish and rebellious and a turning to God. When people repent, God relents. Man repents, God relents. We turn from our sin and turn back to God in repentance. He turns from his anger and judgment, turns back to us in mercy. But as Joseph Parker, who was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon, famously said, the man whose little sermon is repent sets himself against his age and will for the time being be mercilessly battered by the age whose moral tone he assaults. There is but one end for such a man, off with his head. You better not preach repentance until you pledged your head to heaven. You say, didn't Keith Green write a song, I Pledged My Head to Heaven? Exactly, exactly. Based on those words, which he found in Leonard Ravenhill's book, Why Revival Tarries. 866-34-TRUTH to get in the conversation. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. And if you're on Facebook, we haven't asked folks to do this much, but please go to our page, A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's our book page. And like it. Just click that you like it. That will draw hundreds more people to the page, which we've not publicized much, which will help people know what's happening with the book, get the message out more. I spoke together with a colleague, David Benham, at a pastors and business leaders meeting, and there are other leaders, influencers there as well, in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had at least 50. I was told it may have been closer to 80 that were actually in attendance. And it was to rally people together to join for a major God Has a Better Way rally at the same time that there's a gay pride event in Charlotte later this August. We'll be telling you more about it, those that would like to participate with us in that. But I shared some quotes with the leaders there. Titus Bransma, those who want to win the world for Christ must have the courage to come into conflict with it. Bransma was martyred by the Nazis. Hear these words again. Those who want to win the world for Christ must have the courage to come into conflict with it. Gandhi famously said, a reformer has to sail, not with the current. Very often he has to go against it, even though it may cost him his life. James B. Taylor, a Christian leader in the 1800s, said this, the world may frown, Satan may rage, but go on. Live for God. May I die in the field of battle. You know, this is the mentality of saying, I'm willing to do the will of God, whether it's popular or not. I'm willing to do the will of God, whether people hate me and reject me. Some parts of the world, they are martyred for the faith. Here in America, for the most part, we're ridiculed. Sometimes we're publicly mocked. Sometimes people say nasty things about us on the internet. Or maybe they slander us to their friends, and we get a little afraid or discouraged by their friends. Come on. How can we look in the eyes of those who've been martyred for the faith? How can we look in the eyes of repentance preachers in past generations who were hated and vilified and stoned and yet shook their generations? How can we look in their eyes while we basically would rather have a gospel of convenience and acceptance? And, well, it's pragmatic. I mean, surveys indicate that people won't listen to this. Well, how about if we get the survey of heaven based on the word of God and get the pulse of heaven and do what's right, full of love, full of the Spirit, but do what's right, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I just want to make a quick observation. There's no condemnation in this, no judgment in it, just an observation. And I was sharing this with our guys in the studio, Joey and Truett, today. That yesterday's broadcast, I just brought a word of encouragement to those, especially in New York, after the major blow, the real discouraging ruling, and the Senate passing and legalizing same-sex marriage in New York. People very deeply discouraged over that, understandably. So I brought a word of encouragement in the midst of the discouragement as to why we should keep our hope strong and our faith strong and continue to do what's right. But I didn't take calls yesterday, just as I didn't take calls in the show here yesterday, as I spoke with Pastor David Harwood about God's true love. But when I opened the phones today, instantly all the phone lines lit up, and it seemed everybody wanted to talk about the ruling in New York, and the great majority of the calls being from New York. I find it interesting that sometimes, if it hasn't happened in my state yet, we feel kind of distant from it. Yes, New York is massively influential. New York City, the most influential city in America. Yes, gay pride events in different parts of the world are now encouraged by what's happened in America. And yes, this is going to become the trend and so on. We know the mindset. There's even talk of Governor Cuomo of New York that this is going to help him be president in 2016. I wonder what the moral climate will be like, God giving us the years to see 2016. I wonder what the moral climate will be like in America. But I find it interesting that if it hasn't hit your state, or if your state already passed an amendment against same-sex marriage, you might kind of feel, yeah, what happened in New York stays in New York. No, it's not the case. What happened in New York is of national concern, which is why, more than ever, friends, we need awakening in the church. More than ever, friends, we need to be seeking God and humbling ourselves before him and crying out to the one whose ear is attentive to our cries. This poor man cried out, Psalm 34, and the Lord heard. The Lord hears the cry of the righteous, also Psalm 34. It's not the volume, it's the passion of our heart seeking God. It's praying in faith. Friends, he will hear. He will move. And what prepares the way for the coming of the Lord is the message of repentance in the church, then in the world. Don't fear the scrutiny of the Lord, friends. Don't fear God digging deep in your own life when you're pointing a finger at the sin of the culture. Don't fear God going down deep in your life when you're pointing a finger at the sin of the church. Don't fear the scrutiny of the Lord going down deep in our lives, because he only wants to destroy in our lives that which is destructive so that we can thrive in him and be such a testimony to the world that people see the light that's in us, that people see the life that's in us, that people see that reality. I tell you, there's not a formula to it. But as you're in the presence of God, as you're meeting with him, I tell you that the Spirit of God can work in us in such a way that the world, especially the darker it gets, really will see the difference in us. 866-34-TRUTH. Vicki in Winston-Salem. We lost Vicki in Winston-Salem. And someone in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, wanted to talk about what happened in New York. What does the word tell us anyway about what our posture should be in this world? Aren't we told by Jesus himself that we're in the world, but not of it? Isn't that reiterated in 1 John 2? Doesn't Peter tell us that we're pilgrims and strangers? In other words, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. And while we are here, we are standing for what's right and living out kingdom values. I mean, what else are we going to do? What else are we going to do but seek to do what's right? Are we just going to have Christian bowling leagues and Christian softball leagues and Christian sewing leagues? And I don't know if are there sewing leagues? Have you ever heard of a Christian sewing league? I don't know. Probably exists somewhere. You know, no, of course. Of course. We are here to make a difference. Of course God has put us here to be lights in dark places. Look, it's always easy and nice to be surrounded by people who are doing well, and not to be around the hurting ones, and not to be around the weak ones, and not to be around the struggling ones, not to be around the ones that smell, so to say. It's just nice to be with people who are just doing well. Come on, deep down in your heart, you know you have something that hurting people need. If you know the Lord deep down in your heart, you know that there's a better way. And as you see people, say, celebrating on TV and two men hugging each other and kissing, and now they get to be married in New York, something tells you this is not what God intended. When he created the human race, this is not what God intended. God has a better way. And something inside of you, at least I think most of you, says that things should be different. You may be longing for the coming of the new heaven and the new earth, and where righteousness dwells, and to be glorified and caught up in our resurrection bodies. Hey, that will happen soon enough. Soon enough, it will happen. But the fact is, we're here right now on a mission. We're here right now as ambassadors for the kingdom. We're here right now in the midst of a life and death spiritual battle where people are being destroyed that don't know God. We can make the difference. Can I remind you that it was people who were not highly educated and were not much in the eyes of this world, people like that who helped pray me into the kingdom, who patiently loved me in my foolishness and sin and helped pray me into the kingdom, and their witness and their message of life and truth changed my life. Can I encourage you that if you're saved, even in a weak state, you have something the world needs. Don't be afraid of the message of repentance. Don't forget the power of prayer, because we have something the world doesn't have.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, well, what's my end time theology? Do I believe that the world will get better and better and better until Jesus comes and the gospel will cover the entire earth and all the nations will be discipled? No, I respect that view. Some great church leaders in the past have had it. I understand the great optimism that it brings with it, but I don't see that. I don't see that in my own study of Scripture. Do I believe that everything is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and complete moral, social, cultural collapse before Jesus comes with very little light shining? No, I don't see that either, although I respect those that see it and understand why they see it, and for them, they have a message of salvation to bring in the midst of a dying, lost world. As I see it, there'll be increasing parallel extremes as we get closer and closer to the end of the age. Increasing parallel extremes. The light will get brighter, the darkness will get dark. You say, well, how can that be? Well, you just look at different parts of the world right now. It's super bright in one place and super dark in another place, just the way the planet is. We've seen as the gospel comes and revival comes that those rejecting the message get further and further away. The book of Revelation comes to a close in the 22nd chapter and basically says those who are going to do right, do right. Those who are going to do evil, do evil. Now, I can't prove to you that it's going to happen simply because I don't see the scriptures giving us sufficient clarity on the issue. More importantly, where do we stand right now? Are we the last generation that is Jesus coming in this next year? Or are there five generations that are going to follow us? You follow what I'm saying, that these things are ultimately debatable. But this much I know. If everything is going downhill, all the more do I shout out the truth. Did you follow me? 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. The more extreme things get around us, the more insane they get around us, the more we raise our voices, recognizing that everything is coming down, and that means the kingdom of God is about to break forth in full power on the earth. No reason to cower in the closet when everything's being shaken around us. No reason to be ashamed of the faith when the king is going to appear. So my attitude remains one where, by God's grace, I won't be shaken. If I see things happen that are distressing, that are dismaying, I want, as a child of God, to be able to turn that around as a greater platform for the preaching of the gospel. Even when there are natural disasters, whatever the cause of them, I want to be able to use that as a platform to say, hey, we're in a fallen, broken world, and life can be very fleeting. And one day we will all stand before God in final judgment. And regardless of the cause of this tornado or this hurricane or this earthquake or why it happened, what will ultimately happen to the human race is far more dreadful than this if we don't repent. And God wants to have mercy on us now. As I see the passage of the same-sex marriage bill in D.C. and all the more people joining gay pride events and marching proudly, all the more am I going to come out of the closet and say, same-sex marriage is not what God intended. There is a better way. Homosexual practice is not what God intended. There is a better way. No-fault divorce is not what God intended. There is a better way. Pornography, whatever it is, whatever it is that's going on in society, let us use the backdrop of darkness to cause the light to shine all the more brightly. I heard one radio host say, the more they try to silence you, shout all the louder. And as you go through the New Testament, you really can't deny this constant pattern that the first message on the lips of John the Baptist, John the Immerser, beginning in Matthew, the third chapter, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are the very same words that are on the lips of Jesus, Yeshua, beginning in Matthew 4, 17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Mark 1, 15, this is the time, repent and believe. The kingdom of God is near. God's kingdom breaking into this world began to happen 2,000 years ago. The kingdom broke in, and the kingdom has been advancing little by little, sometimes dramatically, sometimes subtly, little by little around the world, to the point that people have estimated that of everyone saved in world history, 2/3 of that number was saved in the 20th century. And out of that number, 2/3 were saved after World War II, and out of that number, 2/3 in the last 20 or 25 years or so. The gospel is advancing, friends. The word is bearing fruit. And this message of repent and believe, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe, the kingdom of God is at hand, remains a relevant message. The kingdom, in fact, is here. No. Not the full manifestation of the kingdom of God. No, that will happen only when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom here on the earth and rules and reigns. And ultimately, there's a new heaven and a new earth. We're not trying to set up a theocracy, but I tell you, the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, bringing conviction. God responds to our prayers as we seek him. Continue to go after him. Don't be downhearted. Don't be discouraged. Continue to seek him. He will hear the cries of the righteous. Jesus exhorts us in Luke 18, not to be weary, not to cave in, not to lose heart. Continue to pray. Continue to believe, because we will see the triumph of God. We will see the power of God change lives. And hey, look at this. Even if there's darkness around us, even if politicians do things that disappoint us, and business and media leaders do things that disappoint us, and even a pastor or leader in the church does something that disappoints us. Friends, when your best friend comes to faith, when your mom or dad gets saved, when your coworker gets saved, when your kids come to the Lord, even when there's a lot of darkness all around you, your heart's rejoicing, and you realize, hey, one life at a time, Jesus is moving. Lives are being changed and impacted. Hey, can I say thank you again for those of you who are helping us be on the air this very second? Feel good about that. Be encouraged by that. Those of you that pray for me and for this broadcast and our team on a regular basis, wow, thank you. Genuinely, this is not just a radio host. I'm telling you, as a brother in the Lord, thank you for standing with us. You're helping us right now speak to people all over America and by internet all over the world. And by God's grace, we're seeing a lot of wonderful fruit. Those of you who are supporters, our torchbearers, we can't thank you enough for your support. Those standing with us, giving on a regular monthly basis, you really are the foundation of what we're doing in so many ways. So thank you for that. And today at this luncheon, I was able to give away over 40 copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America, retail value of over $1,000 of books. I was able to do that because generous folks have stepped up to sponsor and help us. If you'd like to sponsor Queer Thing Happened to America, get into the hands of key leaders all over the nation. For every $100 we receive, we'll get out 5 books to key leaders all over America. We've got lists that is they're growing. We want to get them into more and more people's hands. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And say, hey, I'd like to sponsor these books, or I'd like to become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. 1-800-278-9978. Friends, together, from my heart, together, we are making a difference. My bottom line today, when God created the universe, there was darkness and then light. When God created the universe, there was evening and then morning. And it says in the Psalms, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Light will ultimately triumph over darkness. The day will come and will never end. The weeping will end, but the joy will not.